Welcome to NucleCast, the official podcast of the NY Deterrence Center. Our host is Dr. Adam Laufer, co-founder and vice president for research at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. The NY Deterrence Center is a 501c3 organization ensuring a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrence and its ongoing modernization. Thank you for listening and welcome to the show. The views of the host and the guests are their own.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of NucleCast. Of course, I'm your host, as always, Adam Lowther. And of course, we've got a great guest for you today. I'm talking about a good friend, Tom Summers. Now, for those of you that don't know Tom, he is, of course, the acting chairman of the board at the Defense Nuclear Facilities Safety Board, DNFSB. So I'm sure for those of you that are in the community at one of the labs or at Pantex or at, you know, KCNSC, you've heard of DNFSB. But for some of you, maybe some military folks or, you know, some out in the DC policy world or wherever you may not be familiar with DNFSB. And so we wanted to have this episode so that Tom could talk about DNFSB and what they do and why they exist and the plans Tom has for the future of the organization. So welcome to NucleCast. Great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and join with you today. So thanks for inviting me.
So
I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, this is, you know, this is a rare opportunity because you guys don't get a lot of attention beyond sort of that narrow mission space you're in when you're working with, you know, the NNSA administrator or, you know, lab directors. So tell me a little bit about you so that people can sort of know what does it take to be a DNFSB board member? Because you're a board of five, but who are you? And then after you tell me about you, tell me about DNFSB and its mission and what it does.
Very good. Well, I'm happy to. And again, as I said, I'm really excited to be here. So as you said, I'm Tom Summers, the acting chairman of the Defense Nuclear Facilities Safety Board. And just a little tease about what we do. We are a small, independent executive branch agency, and we have a big safety mission. For over 35 years, we've been responsible for providing to the Secretary of Energy analysis, advice, and recommendations for improving the safety of nuclear operations for the Department of Energy and all of their defense nuclear facilities. So as you asked, I'll give you a little bit of my background. A quick answer to how do you get onto the board? I'm not really sure. That's up to the White House and the president, but I'm honored to get a chance to continue to serve. But I'm a former Air Force officer with over 31 years of experience. I retired at the rank of colonel after those 31 years. And during those years, I led and assisted with a variety of activities with nuclear and security and safety interests. For instance, when I was at Minot Air Force Base as the Vice Wing Commander, I was often responsible for overseeing convoys, conducting movements of nuclear components, and people in the missile field. Safety was always at the center of everything that we did. And as you know, these operations are operations that you really must get right each and every time. And we did, I'm glad to say. So this experience stayed with me and continues to drive my interest today in appropriately balancing mission and safety priorities. Sometimes those get out of whack, but it's important to appropriately balance those two very important pieces, mission and safety. So if you don't mind, I'll continue a little bit about
the
board.
Well, yeah, go for it.
Very good. Thank you, Adam. I'm a little biased, and I admit that. But I think that the DNFSB is the greatest defense nuclear safety agency in the world. And why do I say that? The reason I do is because of the people and because of the great mission that we have. So first, I'll talk a little bit about the people. The agency, being around for 35 years, right now has a little over 100 employees total. About 70 of those employees are technical subject matter experts that range in everything from seismic to nuclear engineering to electrical engineering. We oversee over 60,000, I'll say it again, 60,000 DOE workers, so 110 to 60,000. So talk about effectiveness and efficiency. Most of our technical subject matter experts have advanced degrees. Many have previously served in the military like me, but I can guarantee you that all of our staff are passionate, absolutely, and excited about sharing their knowledge about nuclear safety. It's not a little bit about our mission. We help to ensure that the Department of Energy carries out its nuclear missions safely at its defense nuclear sites. From nuclear waste to nuclear weapons, we have the full suite of DOE technologies and missions within our safety oversight portfolio. And we have the luxury of devoting 100% of our time to making sure that everything is done safely. So some of our listeners may say and may wonder, how does the board actually fit into DOE's current nuclear weapons production mission? So I'd be happy to talk about that if you think that that would be something of interest for our listeners.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a great topic. And then tell us how you balance, because you brought this up, and I'm glad you did. And it's this idea of safety versus mission. And you said you balance it. So how do you make that sort of balance? Because, you know, for some, you know, some who may say, well, DNFSB focuses overly on safety. How do you balance, hey, we got a mission and we have to be able to take some risk, but how do we take the right amount of risk?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, I don't know that there's a specific recipe that anyone has that they just get it on the checklist and say, okay, that's it, good balance. But every mission is important. And we at the board and I and myself really know that safe mission accomplishment is at the very center and is the key goal that I think we can all agree on. Any operator, any commander, anybody that has ever done any operations of any kind, I think would agree that doing the operation safely so that the people, the facilities, and the environment are safe is absolutely important. So the way that we balance that is that we take a look at every activity, whether it's somebody conducting an operation at Pantex or anywhere else, and we analyze what we believe to be adequate protection of health and safety. Now, the reason why the board has or should have five people is because different perspectives would come to consensus and bring those perspectives in order to assist making the best decision about balancing the safety that goes along with safe mission accomplishment. So task by task, specific activity by specific activity, we weigh whether or not we think that the operations are being conducted safely. So I think that we strike the right balance. I know that sometimes maybe we don't, and sometimes that the safety that we oversee and safe operations at DOE are viewed that maybe it's overly restrictive. But I think that safe operations is absolutely key because, as I had planned to mention a little bit later, if you have an accident or an incident at one of our national treasured sites, that will potentially shut down either for a short period of time or completely stop those operations for a long time. For example, at the waste isolation pilot plant, there was a fire underground in 2014. And for 3 years, the operations was completely shut down. So any kind of accident or incident can have catastrophic consequences to operations. So if you let me talk a little bit and expand upon the balance of mission and safety, I'd like to talk about the production and how we fit in. And I think it'll help to answer a little bit further in finer detail the question that you asked. So basically, we see safety as the North Star for all that we do. And there, as you might know, and you alluded to that in your question, there's a well-known Department of Defense slogan that says, go fast and fail fast. So I'd like to build upon that. And what I try to encourage people to think about is to learn fast and then learn forward, because there's no substitute for giving organizations opportunities to grow and apply organization lessons learned towards the next challenging mission. And these are high hazard. So at the same time, it is better to learn safety lessons the easy way through others' experiences and not the hard way through accidents. Safe mission accomplishment, our shared goal, and all that the board does with the Department of Energy helps to achieve mission milestones, preserve high morale amongst the workers, and to maintain positive public relations. And this is how we fit in and why we think that we're doing hopefully a good job in the perspective of Department of Energy and others in balancing that safety and mission accomplishment. We see ourselves as independent safety partners with Department of Energy, and we share our observations candidly. We work with DOE to approach safety concerns, their safety concerns, and then share interests in protecting the American public, our workers, and the nuclear facilities around the complex. Our independent safety oversight absolutely, in our opinion, in my opinion, adds value to the DOE mission because we are that additional set of eyes that help to ensure that the activities are conducted safely. We're an inexpensive investment for the American taxpayers, and like you and me, Adam, compared to what it takes to recover and to clean up an accident. So DOE and the board share many safety successes throughout this partnership, and I think that the board's management and work on management of aging infrastructure is one of those good examples. Do you think that would be of interest to you and to the listening audience?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about sort of how you're working on, you know, these facilities that are, you know, 40 years old is the young one. Some go back to the Manhattan Project. So what are you doing there? And then also, as you talk about that, I just saw the Congressional Budget Office released its latest estimates for nuclear modernization. And there's a big bill, you know, it's about $100 billion or so for DOE infrastructure. Is that new infrastructure going to change your oversight mission as we have more active modernization programs than we've ever had? So yes. If you tell me about the old and the new, and what is that going to do to your mission?
Sure, I'll be happy to. And the quick answer is yes, we can provide safety oversight for the old and the new missions, and it'll keep us even busier. But I'll expand a bit upon that. So regarding aging infrastructure, which is an area of concern for many, we know that the term infrastructure can and often mean different things to different people. So our focus, however, is specific on defense nuclear facilities, the equipment that is within those facilities, and then the corresponding safety controls that are used or required. So as most of the listeners probably know, many defense nuclear facilities, as you mentioned, are more than 40 years old, and some much older, 1942 Manhattan Project days. So why do we care, and why do you care? Well, if you think about it, aging facilities and safety systems are often less reliable and more susceptible to failure. So because of that, that's why we care, and that's why I think that you should care too. So DOE and many other agencies struggle with adequately addressing these aging infrastructures and these defense facilities. So to assist DOE, about a year ago, this is what we decided to do. The board began an aging infrastructure campaign, And last fall, the board organized a public hearing on this topic and invited experts from all over the nuclear industry, including some from non-nuclear hazardous industries, to benchmark best practices and lessons learned. So what did we learn? Well, from looking at old facilities, we learned that bold leadership equipped with robust aging management programs are actually the keys to success. That's easier said than done, though, right? So we continue to benchmark and seek out those best practices for aging management programs, which go far beyond routine maintenance and inspection programs. So that's one safety success that we are very proud of, working with DOE about the old infrastructure. Now, new infrastructure, as you talked about, we are prepared in order to assist the DOE as the operator and regulator of their facilities to be able to take whatever they decide to do to accomplish their mission in order to make sure that they do it safely. So we will not be the beneficiaries of some of the money that you talked about that is being, I think, debated on Congress as we speak, but we certainly will assist DOE in making sure that they take whatever resources that they're given and put them to good use for the good of our national security and public safety.
Now, it's that time in the show where we have to take a quick break. So I want to do that. And when I come back, I want you to continue telling me about sort of how you're working with aging and new facilities. But I want you to also address a question that sort of you spurred. And that is, has the aging infrastructure across DOE, I don't know whether the right way to think about it is made you or enabled you to become an sort of a proponent of DOE's modernization effort. So let's continue when we come back, but right now we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to NucleCast, and we'll be right back.
This episode of NucleCast is brought to you by the Amlaw Deterrent Center, whose mission is to educate Americans about the nuclear enterprise and strategic deterrence.
And we're back, and we're talking to Tom Summers, the acting chairman of the DNFSB. Tom, we were talking about infrastructure before the break, and I sort of stopped you in, you know, mid-thought, but And I tossed you an additional question to ask or to answer. So let me go ahead and turn it back to you and get you to answer that.
So if I recall the question before the break, you had asked about how the DNFSB actually could be a proponent to assist the Department of Energy in order to modernize their infrastructure to the benefit of our nation. Did I capture that correctly?
Yeah, because with all these old facilities, like you said, they're more problematic and they create more hazards. And, you know, I would naturally assume that new facilities would tend to be safer and would help to they make your mission easier, I would hope, and would also allow the NNSA to accomplish their mission with greater speed and safety and security.
I agree with you 100%, Adam. As you had alluded to, I believe that having modern, recapitalized infrastructure and facilities and equipment, as well as safety and safety controls, absolutely makes the facilities safer for the facility management, for the workers, and for the public. And so, we are advocates for making sure that the facilities are in modern conditions, that they are safe for the people to work in, as well as making sure that they're safe and keep the public safe as well. So I think that you hit on an interesting point, which I had not thought of. But yes, absolutely, we are advocates. I'm an advocate anyways. I'll speak on behalf of myself. I'm an advocate for making sure that the modernization of the Department of Energy's defense nuclear facilities continues.
Now, you talked, you and I were talking a little bit before before we started the podcast, and you talked about, you used an interesting term, the next generation board. Tell me about what that means in terms of a next generation board.
I'm happy to. Thank you for bringing that up. And I hope the listeners will appreciate this, that we are committed at the board to becoming a next generation board. And what I mean by that is this basically has two components. The first component is a willingness to embrace advanced technologies. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The second is to recognize the need to develop the next generation of our nuclear safety leaders. So from an advanced technologies perspective, from my point of view anyways, a next generation board keeps the safety mission foremost, but welcomes new visions, applications, and practices considering the ever-changing technologies in the world. And for example, our staff team is doing a deep dive right now as we speak, considering potential uses to integrate artificial intelligence, or AI, into DOE safety oversight work. And we're very excited about the prospects of this new technology. So as far as personnel are concerned, instead of merely recruiting and retaining, we are focusing on inspiring and promoting safe mission accomplishment. And speaking of personnel, the board could use three more board members to serve with me and Dr. Patricia Lee. As Adam said before, we should have five, and we would be stronger if we had five. If anyone's so inclined, just give President Trump a call or email him to let him know that you're interested. And how about you, Adam? Would you consider being on the board sometime? Well,
we'll talk about that later.
You think about it. So that next generation board is something that we have a vision that would only enhance our ability to do safety oversight and provide the best advice and guidance to the Secretary of Energy as the owner and operator of his defense nuclear facilities.
Now, for the listeners, you deal with low probability, high consequence events. You know, if it's like a, you know, I often, when I lecture, I talk about the conflict pyramid where, you know, nuclear war is on the top of the pyramid, and below that is a layer of, you know, great power war, and below that is lesser conflicts like Vietnam, and below that is insurgencies, and below, and at the bottom is terrorism. And, terrorism is most likely but least dangerous, and nuclear war is least likely but most dangerous. And you're kind of in that, you know, low probability but high consequence. And we sort of talked about this earlier in, as we were talking about managing, you know, risk versus mission accomplishment. So as you're talking about these, how do you think about, you know, just helping NNSA and the labs that own the nuclear material that you oversee? How do you think through making sure it's safe while also helping them in what is, you know, the most active time in the history of these organizations?
Well, thank you very much. And I absolutely agree with you that DOE today is carrying out some of the largest and most complex missions that they have ever carried out since the Manhattan Project. And as you alluded to, seven major simultaneous weapons programs. What an incredible task that they are undertaking. And not only must DOE scale up production of nuclear weapons and its components, but it must also accomplish this work with many new personnel that have less than 5 years experience in the industry or the enterprise, and who are less accustomed to highly formal and disciplined nuclear operations. So this brings into focus one of our ongoing safety priorities. And one of those is transportation safety at Los Alamos. The fact is that nuclear weapons components are transferred routinely by truck around Los Alamos National Laboratory almost every day. There are steep embankments that pose hazards to the vehicles that are transporting those components around the hill or the Los Alamos Plateau. And our safety concern is that those vehicles could go overboard and have catastrophic consequences. So I think I know what you're thinking, and maybe the audience too. What's the chance of this happening? Well, as a reminder, and as you mentioned, we are in the low probability, high consequence business in the nuclear defense industry or enterprise. And the high consequences can certainly negatively affect public health and safety. So contrary, for example, to when the Navy unfortunately just recently lost an F-18E Super Hornet off of an aircraft carrier in the Red Sea, in the defense nuclear industry, if we have a bad day, then more than equipment is lost. Just think about it. Entire communities could be impacted, and that's why we track things like transportation safety concerns at Los Alamos. So we are absolutely aware that these are potentially low probability activities, but the high consequences really probably scare the public and certainly gives us pause to make sure that we are doing our job to the best of our ability.
Now, unfortunately, we're running out of time for the show, so I want to bring out my good friend, Bob the Genie. And as I rub my magic lamp, Bob grants all guests of NucleCast 3 wishes, but his only stipulation is that those wishes have to be related to the topics we've been discussing today.
Okay.
So with that in mind, Tom Summers, acting chairman of DNFSB, what is your first wish for Bob?
My first wish is for the Department of Energy to accomplish their missions critical to the nation in a safe manner. So safe mission accomplishment for the Department of Energy is what I would wish for first.
Okay, that's a good one. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that wish. So I think Bob will work that one. Now, how about wish number two?
Wish number two relates to what I talked about, aging infrastructure. And is what I would wish for, number two, is that aging infrastructure was addressed in a way to ensure that all of the defense nuclear facilities within the Department of Energy were safe, and that the people working there and that the public had confidence that those facilities would continue to operate and serve our nation's national security in a safe manner. So addressing and fixing aging infrastructure would be my second guess, or my second wish.
That's a good one. And just for my understanding, about how many facilities are there that you guys have responsibility for? How many is there across DOE?
I would say it's the upper hundreds to thousands. Specifically, wow. we are only responsible for the defense nuclear facilities. So all of those that are involved in nuclear weapons or nuclear waste. We oversee 10 different sites, such as Los Alamos, Lawrence Livermore, Pantex, and several others, Savannah River. And so they are large installations.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. I didn't really quite know exactly what your footprint was and where. So you have one final wish. What is that final wish?
My final wish is to, after over 5 years serving on the board, that I would have a total of 5 board members serving at the board, one of which hopefully would continue to be me. So that would be my wish.
All right. That's a good one. A full board that can carry out the mission of the organization. Now, as we wrap up the show, if you were to give a 30-second elevator pitch that you want our listeners to remember? Oh, yeah, I remember Tom Summers, and he said 6 months from now. What is that elevator pitch you want them to remember?
I would want your listeners and all those that listen to this podcast to remember that each and every day, the Department of Energy, in concert with the Department of Defense, is providing national security at the utmost best of our ability. And that the Defense Nuclear Facility Safety Board is tasked with and happy to assist the Department of Energy in meeting all of their goals and all of their tasks, all of their missions in a safe manner so that they can do safe mission accomplishment. So we have been here for 35 years. We'll continue to be here as long as our nation needs our oversight, and I think that we do, to provide objective and independent oversight to assist the Secretary of Energy through analysis, advice, and recommendations as the Secretary of Energy carries out the important missions of the Department of Energy as the operator and the regulator of all of those missions. So I think that America and Americans expect all of us to accomplish our mission safely, securely, and effectively. And the board is 100% committed to doing our part to deliver safe mission accomplishment. That's what I would tell them.
All right. Tom Summers, Acting Chair of the Defense Nuclear Facility Safety Board, thanks for joining us on this episode of NucleCast.
Thank you so much for having me today, Adam.
And thanks to you, the listeners, and we'll see you on the next episode. Great conversation with Tom Summers. You know, whenever I first heard DNFSB, I was like, what is that? And then I got a mission brief and was like, I did not know DNFSB existed. And then I've gotten to know Tom over the last year, and, you know, he's a great guy, and they have an important mission, and he's always trying to balance, you know, the NNSA mission and the production requirements with the, you know, the legislatively required safety issues. Tough mission, but a great one.
This has been a production of the ANWA Deterrence Center, a 501c3 that seeks to educate key decision makers, stakeholders, and the public to ensure a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrent. Our executive producer is Kimberly Charrington, and this episode has been engineered and mixed by David Grunthal. Help us grow our followers by sharing it and follow the show on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at NucleCast.